I just got to a stage where with each disappointment and each time I'd fly over to America and have to fly home without you, believing that possibly this time you'd be coming home with me, all these disappointments and shattered hopes, it just got to the point where I was absolutely exhausted, like I was worn out.
This is Wits End. God will get you if you're going all the way with Him to Wits End. He will completely contradict your image of Him.
And then you'll hear me crying to God saying, Lord, it's been 40 years of suffering. You know, when you look at my life, I've had so much suffering. And so I'm lamenting, God, I've had so much suffering. Can't this be over?
And it's no different than Elijah.
I've been to 37 of the 50 states. No place has left more impact on me or will be remembered more than Lake Tahoe. As I'm nearing the completion of this 42 video series, I'm reflecting on the amazing fact that Lisa and I never even thought about coming to Tahoe. It was not our idea. Much less did I have any plans to do a teaching series called The Old Lost Trail. Lisa only found Tahoe because of a shockingly rare listing, which at the time was the most affordable accommodation she could find to match our tight budget.
And this is our cute little place that we're staying.
At first, I thought it may have been too good to be true because Tahoe was so expensive. The fact that we left for a few months and then God brought us back a second time under nearly the same circumstances was another divine intervention of His providence.
So we're here at our favorite sandwich shop again. It's neat to come back to a place that we've been to before, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, really cool. So this.
We saw it as such a refreshing blessing from the Lord after all our suffering and hard work. Within days of our second arrival, I saw the mountaintop through the trees of our porch, and I kept telling Lisa, I have a strange and a strong desire to climb that. Without yet realizing it, God was finally bringing to pass one of my oldest and strongest desires for the ministry. 10 years earlier, I started a project called From There to Here. I had the idea to use the sketch of a mountain to illustrate the stages I had seen in my own journey of learning to walk with God in the obedience that comes by faith. 10 years later, the Lord had brought us back to Lake Tahoe, not so I could finally realize my project by sketching out the mountain on paper, but so I could climb it. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails.
Oh, wow. This is tough. Anything worth doing is always tougher than you think. Sometimes the way God deals with us can be so tough. All throughout the Bible, we see even our heroes. Moses.
Numbers 11:15. If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now if I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin.
We see the great prophet Elijah.
1 Kings 19:4. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.
We see Jonah.
Jonah 4:8. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live.
We see Job.
Job 3:11 through 12. Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb? Why were there knees to receive me and breasts that I might be nursed?
We see the prophet Jeremiah.
Jeremiah 20:14 through 15. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, a child is born to you, a son.
We see David.
Psalm 6:3 through 6. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from groaning all night long. I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears.
We see even the great apostle Paul in the New Covenant.
2 Corinthians 1:8 through 9. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death.
Getting to a place where they despaired of life. Perhaps if I said, have you reached wit's end? They would say, that is exactly where I'm at. I've been to wit's end. Okay, my dear brother or sister in Christ, thank you for listening to this message. Over the next few minutes, I'm going to share with you some of these red hot, very raw recordings that come from episode 82 of the series, The Grace to Love Again, available to be listened to in its entirety at our website, relentlessheart.com, under the journal tab, inside the series called The Grace to Love Again. I'm going to share with you what now Lisa and I look back on. It's something that's very embarrassing for us when we go back and we see how we are acting and feeling and speaking in moments like this, like the very famous clip that Lisa loves for me to talk about. We're sitting at the table at Tyler's house and she says, and he just keeps stretching and stretching and stretching, or how much yardage we continue to get out of us. Sitting at the picnic table in Cocoa Beach and
feeling sorry for ourselves.
And Lisa has tears coming down her face. And in the moment, it is exceedingly difficult to go through these things. And so we could choose to never share these parts of our walk in faith with you. And we could have you thinking much more highly of us than
God would warrant, and we could try to hide this weakness from you and make it look like we are stronger than we are. And we don't want that. We want you to be encouraged. We want you to know a few things, that when you hear these clips of me, that is how weak I am in myself. And that's what happens when God pushes me repeatedly. I get exhausted. I get very frustrated, and you're going to hear me weeping again before God. And I'm going to put a little bit of music behind the weeping, because I'm an ugly crier, and it kind of just helps it to not be quite as ugly.
It's not just your spirit that gives up. It's like your body, you know, you start to notice it in your body. You start to notice it in your energy levels. You start to feel fatigue, that sort of thing, don't you?
Yes. I was totally exhausted. You can hear me. If you listen to the whole recording, I keep saying, I'm so tired of this.
I'm so exhausted from this, man. Literally, it's no different than being in solitary confinement somewhere. You're powerless. You have nothing. And you're fighting against these governments coming and going, and passports that get sent back and are, you know, so shamefully stamped that you can't use it, and you can't get it renewed because of the stupid child support you don't know, because your children have been stolen from you. And oh, man, it's just horrible. It's just horrible. I'm exhausted, and I now have to try to bring my spirit down. I've got to get myself calmed down. I've got to hit the elevator button down and wait for God, muster up the last little bit of strength I have. If I have to crawl to Jesus Christ on this one, so be it. It's been a long time since I have felt this sick and tired of my suffering. The worst part about it is that I know, below all the exhaustion in my flesh, I know that God is faithful. I know that He's going to come through for us. Father, I ask you, Lord God, to forgive me of my sin and my weakness, God, in heaven. I've cried out to you, Lord. I have cried out to you, Father God. If I end up cursing you, blaspheming you, getting mad at you, showing you contempt, God, it is not because I have not cried out and begged you to save me from it. Not because I haven't cried out and begged you to deliver us, Lord. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Pray lest you fall into temptation. And I've been praying, and God, have mercy on me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from this snake, God, that has his tail wrapped around our necks. Free us from this prison, God, in heaven. Exercise your power and redeem. Reveal your mighty outstretched right arm, God. And do mighty acts and wonders as you have said you will do. And deliver us, O God. We're dependent upon you. Do not ruin the testimony, God. And do not destroy your servant who has hoped in you and strove to obey you and been patient. God, deliver us.
And, you know, you had just mentioned that in that recording, I make mention that a friend of mine whose dad had been in World War II, they did some studies and found out that a man can only stay in the conditions of war for, I think it was 168 days before they start to go insane. So it shows you that the human mind, body, and soul can only take so much. So we sit here today being able to somewhat chuckle and look back with embarrassment on these old clips of us by the grace of Jesus Christ, who enables us to continue to go on the heights, who is going to help us to reach a place that we were not at when we're having these moments like you're going to hear, where God gets Lisa and I both to a place where we have a total rest and a total peace and a total acquiescence to His will, despite how long He wants to delay, despite how difficult it was. But in this particular recording, these few clips, just to give you a quick little background, God had put Lisa and I together over a year earlier. And at this point in time, we've been living virtually as husband and wife in every way, except we hadn't yet physically met. And so by the time you hear these recordings, I've sent off the tiny house with all those troubles, almost lost it to the New Zealand customs process. Then we have sent off our bags. All of my possessions have been sent to New Zealand. And at this point in time, they've been stuck at the moment I'm making this recording for 45 days in customs. They are wanting me to jump through so many hoops. And we have gone through an international move. We are still not together. We've had all kinds of struggles that I won't even name at this point. It's just, I'm fed up. I'm absolutely at the end of it.
One thing after another, another after another, and it just piles up and up and up and up to the point where it's just like breaking point.
You look at Job and Jeremiah. It's like they read each other's journals. And they both get to a place where God's dealings with them are so strange, so perplexing, so hurtful, so contradictory to who you believe and who they believe God is and what God would do as a loving, good, faithful God, that they get to the place where they curse the day of their birth. They curse the fact that there were hands to receive them, that there was a womb to give them birth into life, that there were breasts to nourish and feed them.
Deliver us, Lord, you have said. Now just do what you have said. Don't allow our weakness, God, and the human part of us to bring you shame, God, because we get frustrated and tired and weak. Deliver us from this serpent, God. We cry out to the God Most High who saves us, to God who is a mighty tower and the righteous run into it and are saved. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. God in heaven, I seek your face. Holy One of Israel, God, I look to you for help. Help us, God. Help us. Help us, God. We cry out to you, Lord. This is serious. We're barely hanging in here, Father. I've been saying that I'm on thin ice for weeks. Help us, God.
And then you'll hear me crying to God saying, Lord, it's been 40 years of suffering. You know, when you look at my life, I've had so much suffering. And so I'm lamenting, God, I've had so much suffering. Can't this be over?
And it's no different than Elijah sitting under the juniper tree, just wanting to give up.
Correct.
And God has to send an angel to come and feed him.
Correct. Because he's ready to die. And I mentioned that in the clips on the mountain. So I'm going to share this with you. So just wanted you to have the background on this. And also to have the hope to know that we are not there anymore. To the praise of God, he has strengthened us. And I'm going to tell more about that once we get to that stage, which is the final stage, the summit, where faith has reached, as the old saints say, its very highest point. That's what you're after, is to have the highest faith you can have in God, the strongest trust you can have. Having a high trust in God is the single greatest possession you can have as a Christian. And God wants to give you a stronger faith than you have right now, most likely. And you have to persevere through some of what you'll hear in order to get to it. So if you're experiencing darkness, if you're experiencing, I can't take it anymore, hopefully this message will be an encouragement to you. So here we go. Here's those journal recordings. Hold on to your hats and glasses for a few moments and may God bless you as you listen.
Then the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tells the church, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, such that we were to the point of feeling a sentence of death in our hearts.
Do not delay any longer, God, I have to say. What good would it be, Father? Will an unfaithful, contemptuous, apostate failure of a ministry praise you? Will his death spiritually? Will he praise you from the spiritual grave? Oh, God in heaven, deliver us, Lord. Deliver us, God. Deliver us, Lord. God, if there's anything I hate more than I hate anything, it's the sin of being mad at you. The sin of murmuring or grumbling or complaining at you, Father God, or asking you, why have you done this? You're God. But Lord, you have also instigated us by giving us these promises and telling us you're going to deliver us and you're going to help us and you're going to go before us. And then God, you just delay and delay and delay and delay. And you knew that we would be exhausted by the time you're going to delay. You knew you were going to bring us to the point of, my God, why have you forsaken us?
Lisa has been right there with me. And I think it was just last night you had mentioned to me that you realized, reflecting back on what happened to you in Cocoa Beach and your faith, you got so upset and it was so dark that you said it was dangerous.
So I think it really started off with when God first put us together and my shattered expectations on how I believed that everything was now going to be smooth. So after all the suffering that I'd gone through in the previous marriage, I didn't realize that God was now going to throw us into another type of wilderness with different kinds of testing.
And that expectations is always so painful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I seemed to have the energy at first and all this faith and belief that nothing was impossible for God and that he was going to do it. And even though it was taking a lot longer than what I thought it would, I still thought it would be sooner than what he was planning on doing it. I hung in there, fought, kept running. And I just got to a stage where with each disappointment and each time I'd fly over to America and have to fly home without you, believing that possibly this time you'd be coming home with me, all these disappointments and shattered hopes, it just got to the point where I was absolutely exhausted. Like, I was worn out. I didn't have any fight left in me anymore. And I was angry at God, disappointed with him, with how he was dealing with us.
And you do have to realize that God does this to you on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He wears you out on purpose.
Yeah.
He allows that to happen. That's one thing that we have to realize.
Mm-hmm. And I felt sorry for us. I felt sorry for myself. And yeah, I just ran out of steam. And I was physically, mentally exhausted. I was feeling depressed. It's just, I had no energy to go anymore. I just wanted to just give up and stop fighting. I'd had enough. And that's what I kept saying to God, you know, enough's enough, God, enough's enough. Just deliver us.
Yeah.
And I started to look at people around me, worldly people just going about their own business, making their own plans, doing their own things. And I started to feel jealous of their freedom and not being stuck like us. And, you know, I just really felt like we were stuck in a prison. And although I could fly home, you couldn't, but we were in a prison together, because if I flew home, we were back in long distance relationship, and that was really, really difficult. So really, I was quite scared for myself because I didn't know what this meant and what this would look like. I didn't know if I'd walk away from my faith, or I had no idea. But all I knew is that I couldn't change the way I was feeling.
I would tell you, look, this is sin. Don't you fear God? You can't act like this. This is what got the Israelites, you know, dead in the wilderness. And you would at least admit to me, I know this is sin. I know this is...
No, absolutely. I mean, I was disgusted at my attitude and how I was feeling towards God. And but I was just so tired. I just couldn't help it. There was nothing I could do. And you kept telling me, all you've got to do is just stand. You know, just
stand. In other words, what that means is don't go backwards. What happens is when you get to that level of pain, everything in you searches for pain relief. If you're on a stretching rack, you're going to do everything you can to get your arms free. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
So for me, what I saw with you is what we've all been tempted to do it. There was a time where you said, that's it. I'm going back home and I am going to take the house off the market. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not waiting on God anymore. There's that rebellion against God. We're going back to Egypt.
Because I didn't like his ways. I wanted to have it my way from now on. I'd feel like I'd been obedient, and it's like, okay, God, now you owe me.
Right, you feel like God owes you.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I'm telling you is to stand is you don't take the action that you want to take. It's like when my mother was pressing my socks off. Everything in you wants to go, that's it, I'm going to go live somewhere else. I'm going to get out of here. And you want to escape and free yourself from it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was trying to tell you. And that's what I'm telling the person listening to this is when you're at wit's end.
And you're beating against the bars.
Exactly. You don't take any action. You stay put. You just, now it's about enduring. It's just about persevering.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key is no matter how hot the flame, you stay in it. And eventually Jesus will get in that flame with you and cool it off. You're in the fire. He's putting you in there for a reason. You know, don't be like the man who talks about being a blacksmith and looking at that piece of metal and sees, oh, it can't take it. So he throws it on the scrap heap.
Yeah.
Don't be a scrap heap, Christian. Stay put. Take the fire. Stay as long as you need it to take.
So what I did was that I went to the Lord, even though I didn't want to speak to him because I was angry at him. But I went to the Lord and I confessed, my sin and asked for forgiveness, because truly I could see that I was sinning and that I was in the wrong. And I just had to cry out for help, and I had to wait for him to come and help me. That was my only option, because to whom else would I go?
Right.
Was I going to abandon God and throw it all in? And,
right.
And yet he'd given me such a beautiful gift, you know, our marriage, you. And you know, so what was I to do? And so it was just basically hanging in there until he came to my rescue.
Yep.
And eventually he did. And he knew exactly, once again, what I needed to refresh me and to keep me going, just like he did with Elijah. And he gave me a dream one night. And I woke up and I was so encouraged. It gave me the energy to keep going. And there were times after that, a few times where I would see my attitude start to seep in a little bit when things again were going pear-shaped, not how we thought, or and when there were some more unmet expectations at times where we thought that he was going to deliver us. So that attitude would start to bubble up again and rear its head, and I'd be like, oh no, it wasn't as bad as what it was in Cocoa Beach, but it was still there, like it still wasn't sorted. And so that's when recently, I think with all the stretching and stretching over all the time and after all the disappointments, that he knew exactly what he was doing. He was getting me to a place where I'd reached the end of myself.
Yes.
And just completely right. Surrender it all.
Correct.
To the point where now I don't get disappointed. Even if we think there might be a date that comes and goes and we wondered if God was going to do something and he doesn't, there's no disappointment anymore. My heart is now filled with the joy of the Lord. Like, I'm just so thankful for everything he's done. And it is, it's about being thankful constantly. And when you start to feel down and depressed and feel like God is not listening to you and he's ignoring you or he's forgotten about you and he's gone on holiday and he's just left you in all the mess and trouble, you know, just to be thankful for what he has given you.
Absolutely. It's important to understand this way of God, that God will absolutely intentionally disappoint you into spiritual maturity. It's how he works. He's going to intentionally disappoint you. He's going to intentionally draw things out. And people don't want to believe this about a God who they've been told is like a Santa Claus in the sky, who's going to just do every little thing they want, answer all the little prayers, come sit up on my lap, I'll be your big sugar daddy in the sky and take after all of your needs.
But no, he's an incredible parent. He's
an amazing parent, far beyond what we could even describe. Thank you for sharing that, because that's so, you have to understand, that's how God is going to deal with you. And that's why you get to wit's end, because your flesh has completely misunderstood God's purpose, God's power, and God's punctuality, his timing. And so, for example, in these clips that I'm about to let you hear about me getting to that wit's end, I don't realize that some of the frustration that I'm experiencing with New Zealand customs about my bags being stuck and the hell that I'm having to go through just to get them released to Lisa, God is doing intentionally, because he's going to end it on a 777 day time period. There's where I'm misunderstanding God's punctuality, his timing. It's important to understand that. But I'm crying out just like Lisa did. We're asking, Lord, refresh us. The other thing I don't realize is that exactly, and this will sweeten this message, exactly 9 months and 21 days to the day after I'm making this recording, I'm going to wake up my very first morning with you by my side in the same bed as my wife. 9 months and 21 days after I'm making this terribly frustrating recording. So it just gives you that hope that however you're feeling now, it will not be how you feel if you continue to persevere. And just remember 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 8, the Apostle Paul says that this is an intentional way of God with us, that he will lead you to a place where you despair of life, that you get in far beyond your ability to endure. That's where Lisa's at in Cocoa Beach, and that's where Michael's at in this recording you're getting ready to hear.
And it comes down to a trust issue, really, to be honest. Like, why was I depressed? And I mean, yes, I was exhausted, and fair enough, I've been through a lot, but it's like, it's a trust issue. You start to distrust God's goodness. You start to wonder, is he good? Does he have my best interests at heart? Is he working on my behalf? Is he listening to my prayers? Does he love me? It's all about trust.
Correct. It is. It is. Can you trust his power? Can you trust his love? Can you trust his mercy?
Exactly.
That's right.
That's what it is. And so when
which you is start, an issue of faith, so you have
to
have faith.
Question that, then everything goes downhill.
Correct. That's exactly right. And that's why Satan attacks faith so much. Faith is the thing that Satan attacks. When I was watching you in Cocoa Beach, I was watching your faith under attack. And I'd say, oh man, we're in trouble. And I had a few reactions where I had to immediately run to God because all I could think of, oh my goodness, here we go, is Persis 2.0. Here is, again, the main takeaway. It's the issue of, in 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul is telling us God is going to bring you to a place where you despair of life, such that you feel a sentence of death in your hearts, okay? And that's what that is. But he explains why God intentionally does this. In other words, why is God intentionally disappointing you? The reason God is intentionally disappointing you is to bring you into a sentence of death, to bring you into despair. That's what you're getting ready to hear in me. That's what you've heard Lisa just testify about. But why? So that you will not trust in yourself, but in the God who raises the dead.
That's right.
When you got the dream, that was God doing something that only he can do to raise you from the dead. I mean, I saw a different person after that.
I felt God's love. Like, in order for him to send that dream to me, I know that that was his mercy for me. And man,
that dream lasted. That dream worked. It kept you, and you'd reflect back on the dream a few times.
It was just so beautiful. I felt so loved by the Lord that he reached out his hand and touched me like that to give me the energy to keep going and to restore my hope.
Right. But listen, please, brother or sister in Christ, you cannot, when you're at true wit's end, you cannot save yourself.
No, you can't.
It's a type of death, spiritual death.
I tried for months and months and months, and nothing was working.
The only way you can get out is with God, and the only way God will get you out is by faith. It will be to you according to your faith. In fact, I want you to listen. I want to leave a part in this recording where you will see that by the providence of God, I grabbed my phone and you'll hear me say, there's a 928, Lord. Matthew 928, Jesus Christ asks the blind man, do you believe I am able to do this? I'm crying out to God and you'll see the providence of God. You know how God uses numbers with me. You'll see him. I grab my phone at just the right moment, 928, and you'll hear me say to God, Lord, I know you can do it. I believe you can do it, but I need to believe that you can resurrect my heart before you resurrect the circumstances, because my heart was full of death at this moment. My faith is being challenged to the utmost. So when you are in this place, you have to remember to wait on God. And remember, you might say, but I've been waiting a long time. So had Lisa been. That's why you see the tears streaming down her face. When you hear these clips, and I'm getting ready to turn it over to these clips are me having experienced difficulty after difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. And then we get to that place again in Cocoa Beach, where that was after we put out the Kelly Slater video and just all hell came at us. Yeah. It was just one thing after another, and you were collapsing. So these times happen because God is getting you out of you. That's the truth. God is getting you out of you.
Yeah, getting you out of the way so that, that more of him can move in.
So please understand that the place we get to in our faith is not because God just answered every little prayer, came through every time we expected, blessed and heard our every cry of faith and immediately saved us. No, we got to the highest place of faith more so because of all the disappointments.
Yeah, that's true.
Because of all the reversals, because of the setbacks, because of the terribly painful times of waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, you get to this place where God sees, perseverance has had its work. It's been finished. Patience has done a good thing in you, and you're now found mature and complete, lacking nothing. And brothers and sisters, I tell you, no matter how dark and bad your wit's end corner is, and no matter why your wit's end corner is why it is, the better thing is God changing you than he is to change the circumstances.
And it's agonizing. It's so painful.
So painful. So we're going to leave it. Now I'll turn it over to that moment when it was so painful for me. And you can know that we look back on this now kind of chuckling, and we look back on it with embarrassment.
Yeah, that's right.
It's embarrassing to see what we're capable of doing. Even as long as we've been walking with the Lord and having faith in him, to have this happen is difficult. So here's those clips, and then trust in the Lord to lift you up, to bring resurrection life to death, because he's done it for us.
Lord, I'm going to tell you, I don't like that part about you, Father. I don't like it that you intentionally bring us to this place where we almost want to curse you to your face, God. I don't like that part about you, Lord. don't like that part of you, Lord, where you make me so mad. You might make me want to throw my phone. God, I have suffered for 40 years, Lord, for you. Please deliver us, Lord God. I can't stand it. I need to be back right with you more than I need my wife or my stupid bags. Oh, God, you know how weak I am, Father. You know how weak I am. And I tell everybody how faithful you are, and I've obeyed you to the point of cutting my every arm off for you, Lord. God, don't make me mad at you, Father. Please don't make me mad at you, Lord. I'm in a crisis, God. Oh, I need you to deliver me from this, Lord. I can't stand it, Lord. I can stand falling into the sin of murder before I can stand to fall in the sin of being mad at you, Lord. Cursing your name. God, I'm exhausted, Lord. I'm exhausted. I have nothing left, Lord. I have nothing left. I have nothing left, Lord. I need you to deliver me, Lord. I don't know what else to do. You just continue to allow Satan to attack, Lord. Oh, you've allowed him to attack me too much, Lord. I'm finished. I feel like throwing my phone down, Lord. Oh, please deliver me, Lord, from myself. God, 40 years, Lord. 40 years, Lord. Years of suffering, God. 40 years, Lord. Do you believe I can do this? 928. Yes, Lord, I believe you can do it. I need to believe that you can resurrect me, my heart first, Lord, before the circumstances. I need help. God, I've given you faith, Lord. I've taken so many risks for your name. You know that I have believed you, Father. You know that I've had faith. You know I believe you can do this. God, I need you to act on my behalf. I don't have the energy for anything anymore right now, Lord. I need you to help your servant. How much could Jesus help himself nailed to the cross? I'm so thankful that your word says that he was heard for his reverent submission and his many loud cries and tears. I just gave you a loud cry. I need you to deliver me, God. I can't even say it without wanting to cry.
And I have found such comfort to find that the great leader of Israel, the great Jesus of the old covenant, Moses, he gets to the place where two times he gets into such despair that he asks God to take his life. I believe it's Exodus. He says, you know, remove my name out of your book of life. That's how in despair, because of the dealings of God with Moses, he got. And then in Numbers, he says, if this is how you're going to treat me with these people grumbling and moaning and complaining and making this wilderness journey so difficult, just put me to death right now. The great prophet Elijah, who pulled fire out of the sky, saw incredible miracles, ends up getting to a place where he says, I've had enough, Lord. Just end my life. It is better for me to die than to live. I am no better than my ancestors. This is Wits End. God will get you if you're going all the way with him to Wits End. He will completely contradict your image of him. You're going to have to go back to Isaiah 55, I think it's verse 8 and 9, where he says that his ways are so much higher than our ways, higher than are the heavens above the earth. So high are his thoughts above ours that we can't even begin to understand them. In one of the prophets, it speaks of he brings down the mountains and he destroys things. And then the prophet ends the statement by saying his thoughts, his ways are eternal. And that's one of the biggest problems that we run into in our relationship with God. And that's one of the reasons why we get to wit's end, because God consistently contradicts in our reality who we think he is based in our Christianity. We always get into trouble when we misunderstand God's purpose, God's power, and God's punctuality, his timing. God is thinking for our eternal life. So he touches and destroys these things in this life. So much of what we hold dear, God sees as an idol, God sees as an obstacle, God sees as something in our way, something in his way with us. And God will get us to a place where we're at wit's end, where it seems like he's not answering our prayers. He's allowing circumstances to completely contradict what we hoped in him. He has allowed something that he has given us good to be taken away, and something that was once sweet has now become bitter. And we start to bring thoughts of maybe Satan did this. Maybe I've been deceived. Maybe I've been led astray. Maybe I'm, you know, giving in to my own delusional thinking. Maybe this is my confirmation bias. We get to a place where we are so perplexed with God's dealings that we cry out like Moses, we cry out like Elijah, we cry out like Jonah, we cry out like Jeremiah, we cry out like Job, and we cry out like Paul. It is better for me, perhaps, to die than to live. But the great apostle Paul gives us the reason. He goes on to say, here's the reason why Moses and all of those since me have felt this sentence of death, and here's the reason why you at some point will reach wit's end and receive a sentence of death in your heart. Paul says, this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. The resurrection power of God. Jesus saying again, if you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And unfortunately, and as painful as it is, God will remind us of that by bringing us to wit's end. When you get to wit's end, don't panic. Sit down for a moment like this, take a rest, go back into those scriptures, and remember that men of God far better than you and women have been to wit's end way before you ever even were born. And God lifted them in his mercy out of it, and they continued on the climb.
If you will remember the three pillars the Lord showed me, the humility to know that you cannot, the faith to know and believe that he can, and the patience to wait until he does. Look at how these three pillars have been so proven true over and over again, brothers and sisters, in my story, and as you know, in many of yours. If you humble yourself before this mighty God, God watches over and cares for you even more. He's an all-loving, all-powerful God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I tell you this day, January 1st, 2025, you should expect, if you remain humble, if you remain faithful, and if you remain patient, obeying God, desiring to do his will over yours, you will, no matter what it feels like today, no matter what it looks like tomorrow, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how long the darkness lasts, no matter how long God keeps you waiting, you will see resurrection life over death. You look at all the things that have been struck in your life, all the things that will continually be struck in your life. God has made an example in my life. There is not one person, there is not one thing, there is not one season in my life that has not experienced an assault of spiritual attack. God, it's almost like he made me a Job. In many, many ways, he made me a Job. And he said to the Satan, go ahead, touch him, touch everyone around him, touch his children, touch his two wives, touch his career, touch his ministry, touch his finances, touch his dignity, touch his credibility, touch everything. But on the man, you must not lay a hand. Brothers and sisters, the God of Job is Michael Criswell's God. The God of Job is your God. The God of Michael Criswell, the God of Paul, the God of George Mueller, the God of Adoniram Judson, the God of Brother Yun is your God. Yes, he allows us to suffer. Yes, he allows spiritual death. Yes, he allows Satan to attack. But my brothers and sisters, what does the end of the story show? What is the Job 42:10 happening in my life where God is restoring and blessing and lifting up, but resurrection life over tons of spiritual death? And look at the testimony. How could you shrink back from believing for God to do this in your life? Look at the resurrection life over death. Look at what God wants you to expect. Look at what Jesus Christ can say amen to. Through his own spirit speaking the words of Romans 8:31, if God be for you, who can be against you? That no weapon, according to the prophet Isaiah, formed against you shall prosper. That you will refute every accusing and lying tongue, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, look at how much death. Pretend like God hasn't vindicated me now. Go back to 2024 still. Go back to Though He Slay Me, where I'm reflecting on all the difficulties and all the darkness and all the suffering, but then I say, but God, I know He's faithful. I know He will vindicate me either in this life or in the life to come. Brothers and sisters, think of the years of me having to wait, facing spiritual death upon spiritual death. What is the message? What is this supposed to be about? What is Relentless Heart for? It's to show a testimony of unstoppable power, mighty power, mountain-moving power in the name of Jesus Christ to overcome each and every aspect of Satan's spiritual death that he comes into your life with, seeking to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I don't stand here today with just one good evidence, one good miracle. I stand here today with decades of evidence of spiritual warfare and an onslaught of spiritual, evil, wicked forces trying to put me and trying to put my light and trying to put my Jesus Christ and trying to put my faith out and trying to put my ministry out, trying to put my hope out. And I told Lisa, I said, look, how is it that I'm still standing? How is it you're still standing?
And that's exactly what we're getting ready to do now. Let's head to the next stage.
You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure He has to see you and I conformed into His image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, He had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain-moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.